Hi, my name is Tara.
And I'm Pedro.
And welcome to Hear My Marriage Podcast.
Join us on Saturday nights at 9 p.m. as we talk about marriages.
On Adventist Radio London. Hello, 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 everyone.
Hello.
And welcome to Hear My Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Tara.
And I'm Pedro.
And we are back again with another episode for you today. And
season 5, episode 10.
That's right. That's right.
While we get out the way.
That's right.
Because I see you looking, trying to figure out.
That's right. And our topic for this podcast, we're going to be talking about becoming one in marriage. And, you know, we gave it a couple of
names.
That's
not the topic. The topic says oneness in marriage.
Oneness in marriage, which means becoming one in marriage. Yeah. But if you haven't followed us yet on these our different platforms, which is on Facebook, Instagram, and X, and YouTube, you can go and subscribe, share, and like, and leave a comment, and let us know what you think about our various topics, and which one you ever come across, no matter if it's old or new, you can just leave a comment, and we'll get back to you, and comment back to you. So. Yeah. As we're going to jump into this episode.
Actually, first, we're going to thanks to all the Adventist Radio London listeners.
Yes, as well.
Because as well as us doing the YouTube, we also do a program for Adventist Radio London, which is located in, of course, London, UK. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an Adventist show for those that are Adventists or just want to hear Christian content.
Yes.
There's other shows on there, too. Might as well plug it a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a breakfast show in the morning. There's the Ray of Hope show on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
They have in the news. We have different shows that are there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can't. I'm not gonna say it if I don't know the name for sure.
All right.
But either way, they have
Josephine does a show on Wednesday at 7.
Yeah,
for teenagers.
Hears us, I think, or something.
Us, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, right. So it's just different programs. If you want some Christian content,
yeah.
If you just want some content. Be sure to, you can go on the Adventist Radio London app.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the U.S. or somewhere, of course, the time difference.
Right.
I think it's about 5 hours, depending where you're at.
Right. Yeah. So with this episode, we're talking about how we know it's important to, like I always say in every episode, becoming one in marriage is a thing that have to happen or has or need to happen in marriage. So you and your significant other can come together with God, number one, and with each other. And because the importance of becoming one really does carry throughout your marriage and how you guys come together, how you make decisions, and all of these things and the importance of oneness. It's not universal. It's not just you. It's not individual. It's coming together to see each other the way God sees you in your marriage. So that's what we're going to cover today. And we want to give our own experience on this topic.
Yeah.
And how we became one in our marriage. And it wasn't overnight. So we're going to just jump into that. The light is kind of jumping off my glasses a little bit, as my husband say, but I need these to read, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you need those to read all of a sudden. Admitted you need reading glasses?
Yeah, I do need reading glasses. So, you know,
you've been 20 years. We've not become one on that subject. So it took me 20 years to convince you that you need glasses.
Yeah, I definitely need glasses to read.
I've been trying to tell you for 20 years.
Yeah, I hate squinting. And it
I've been telling you for 20 years you need glasses. Yeah, I don't need no glasses. My eyesight is 20/20.
When it comes to reading, I do need something. So,
it can take you 20 years to become one on certain subjects.
Yeah.
So this is one of those subjects.
So yeah, I hope that don't bother anyone that the light jumps off my glasses. It won't be on the whole episode. I'll take it off at some point. But so that'll be what it is. Go ahead, honey.
Well, let's pray.
Okay.
And if Father, as we go into the subject of becoming one as a couple, as a married entity, we ask, Lord, that you be with us, help us in this discussion, and the words that we say will help somebody and help us too, and that we will be able to indulge in a way that we can become one with you and with each other in the future going forward. This I pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we know that in marriage, becoming one refers to the profound union of two individuals encompassing physical, emotional, spiritual, and relational aspects. It is a commitment to integrate lives, support each other's growth, and prioritize the well-being of the marriage partnership. The oneness is not just physical union, but a deep intertwining of hearts and minds, where individuals' identities are preserved while forming a unified entity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You have a different. You have a different thing.
Yeah, different I have a notes. Different aspect.
You didn't tell me that.
Well, you anyway, know now, honey.
We're talking.
What I'm just saying.
Anyway,
we can't. Yeah, go ahead.
If we're one, we'll be thinking the same.
Because you just.
Woo-hoo.
Don't,
anyway,
don't start. Don't
start. So becoming one in marriage. You're talking about we have to. Well, we know we go straight to, it says in the Bible, Genesis 2:24,
right,
where it says that, I'm sorry, one second, where it says that, and that is why the man should leave his father and mother and unite to his wife, and they become one flesh.
And what is from?
Genesis 2, verse 24.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
New International Version.
Yeah. Okay.
So we all know that in the beginning of the Bible, it says that the men are supposed to leave. Doesn't say the woman, it says the man. So as the man, I'm supposed to leave my mother and my father and cling to my wife. I think that's what King James says.
Yeah.
Cleave to my wife. So
right. Well, when it says man, that could mean man or woman.
No, it doesn't mean
it
man
doesn't
or woman.
Mean that?
No, okay. Don't do that.
No, I'm just
no,
saying.
Don't do that. No.
Go ahead.
Don't do that. No, it says this is why a man, it doesn't say a man or woman. It says a man. Okay. What are you doing?
No, I'm just saying.
Why would you even? No.
No, I only said, this is why I said
no,
that.
No, it's a man.
Okay.
Why would you say that?
Okay. I had said that because even a woman sometimes can still have her connect to her family.
Yes, and I'm about to think right now with you.
Uh-huh. That? Okay.
When we got married, what did I do?
What did you do?
When we got married, what did I do with you? Because you was clinging to your mama and your sister. What did I do when we got married? Think about it. What did I do when we got married?
You had told me that we need to come together.
Yes. And that you need to not do everything with your mother and your sister.
Mm-hmm.
And that you and I were the one that was married.
Right.
And that you had to leave.
But no.
But it is my job, is the man's job to fix that.
Okay.
To handle that.
Okay.
So I still was like, look, you want to talk to them? That's fine. I don't have no problem if you're hanging out with them, talking to them. But you can't go to them telling them everything. You can't go to them about our marriage.
Right.
Let me rephrase that. About our marriage. Oh, you want to tell them about other stuff? I don't care. I'm talking about our marriage.
Right.
Don't go to them, run into them. And it's you and I.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens in our marriage is in our marriage.
Right. Yeah, they're, it's not for the
outside. They're, right, exactly.
Right.
So it's the man's job to do that.
Right.
So when I met you, I was like, because you was real clingy to your mom and your sister.
Okay.
And that's fine. But I was like, you know, you need to kind of do things on your own. Be able to, you know, go to the DMV on your own.
Yeah.
You know, go to the grocery store on your own. You could even go to the grocery store on your own.
Stop it.
Am I lying?
We did things together, yes, but I did things by myself.
Don't lie.
Sorry.
God is a witness. God is my witness. Hallelujah. God is my witness. You would not go to the grocery store unless your sister would go. You would not go to the grocery store. The only thing you did by yourself was come see me.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
I'm not.
It's because it's not true. I think you're kind of over-exaggerating.
No, I'm not over-exaggerating, Tar. You know this is true.
Okay.
Anyway, okay. This is beyond the point. It's not about trying to be true or right. This
well,
is just about...
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're trying to be right here.
I'm not trying to be right. I'm trying to point out something.
Really? What is your point?
My point is that when you get married, the man is to leave his mother and his father and cling to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And in clinging to his wife, he will teach his wife to cling back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because when everything goes to his wife, the wife will understand that she is the function of her being is to then cling back to her husband.
She's the function of her being.
You, Tar, you know what I'm talking about? Like the, yes, because you know, you, what did God have? The man is the head of the household and the woman is the helper.
Right.
But so as the helper, she would know to cling back to her husband, knowing that she then knows that she has to leave her mother and her father.
Right. So we both have.
Why are you fighting me on everything? What's wrong with you this morning?
We both have to learn how to leave outside influences.
Yes, but you learned that from your husband.
On both sides.
But the object is you learn it from your husband.
Yes.
That's what I... Why do you... Anyway, like I said, yes, learn from your husband.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn from your husband. You learn from your husband. So the functionality, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
So you understand, when you see me do it, you say, oh, this is what I should do.
Okay.
So you learn from your husband.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. It's just... Anyway, like I said... Like, you just will make everything. Because when we become one,
saying a woman can learn from her husband how to become one. What if a man is not on that level of showing or leading or becoming
then the marriage can be in trouble. And those are the marriages that you hear about, that the parents and the families all up in the business of the marriage.
Okay.
Plain and simple, those are the marriages that you hear about, where everybody and their mother and their father's up in the marriage. And they don't have no stability in their marriage because they're not becoming one.
Right.
Because they're letting all the outside influences into their marriage.
Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to point on for someone.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway. Because when you do that, then you align your goals, your values, and the direction in the life that you will have.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you do have, I'm not saying that you're not going to have issues in your marriage, in the beginning of your marriage.
Right.
Because you can still have issues. You can still have problems. You can still... Like, I was broken when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the issue of my brokenness. So even though I was not clinging, or even though I had left my mother and my father, I still had my own personal demons, my own personal issues that I had to work through, which you was helping me with.
Mm-hmm.
So we was working on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then we had, and then when you become one, you try to become emotionally and spiritually, you know, involved in intimacy, sexually, touch, feelings, you know, talking to each other, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, because I believe in coming one, you have to learn how to get out of your individual self.
Right, because you're trying
you
to...
You see what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. when you first go into a marriage, you got to get used to being around the person that you're with. You got to get used to living with them. You got to get used to making decisions with them. You got to get used to... All of these things have to now incorporate not just your own individual decision and what's best for yourself, but what's best for both of you.
Well, I believe that it goes even deeper than that. I believe that, yes, you do need to do that in the beginning, but I believe that is an ongoing process every day of your life, because as you grow in your marriage, you grow as an individual. So you're not the same person that you was when we first got married that you are now.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have your little quirks and stuff that I still have to learn to navigate.
Likewise sometimes. With you.
I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about for me personally.
Right.
You still have your quirks that you have to navigate. Because you're not the same person you was 20 years ago.
Right.
You're different now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still learning you and get an emotional connection with you, mm-hmm. and a spiritual connection with you. Because you mm-hmm. can, we can change spiritually. We can change emotionally. We can change physically. We can change in so many different aspects of life, mm-hmm. even 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
We're totally different than we was. So it's just an ongoing process of that you constantly trying to connect.
Okay. So let's hop on one that we can kind of give a description of how we went through these things. So our spiritual oneness, how did we become one with that, with the spiritual oneness, number one?
In what sense? You talking about?
In the sense of becoming one in our faith and what we believe in. And
well,
how
we wasn't in the right. We
our
wasn't.
Family.
We talked about before, we was not in the right faith. Well, we was in the right faith. We believed in God. We was Christians. But you was Baptist, I was Adventist.
Right.
And it's not until 5 years later, 4 years later, we got married 05, we got baptized in 09. No, 10. So 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That you decided that you want to become Adventist, Seventh-day
mm-hmm.
Adventist.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that's when we started. So in our first 5 years, we were spiritually connected,
mm-hmm.
but we were not in the same belief.
We wasn't in the same religion, yes.
No, we was in the same belief. I just say belief, not religion. Because as you said before.
No, I think religion is the key because we.
That was the key.
No, I'm just saying because just to simplify it for some people, you have the different denominations, yeah? Mm-hmm. So because I grew up Baptist and you was Seventh-day Adventist, I had to learn, I had to understand that we had to become one in that sense. Like we couldn't continue to stay divided in the sense of that, because even though I was Baptist and you was Adventist, I still thought a different way. So I think because when God, you know, showed me what he needed to show me in the sense of the truth of the Sabbath and what did it all mean, and also being connected to a religion that also, you know, shared them same beliefs, I think it was important of that, how we was going to raise our family, how we was going to come together as one in the sense of that spirit, you know, spiritually. Right. You see what I'm saying?
Right. So, but you was, like I said, it's funny because even though you're Baptist, you brought me back spiritually, because when I first met you, I was not there spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you're Baptist, so the Baptist does have some parts that are, you know, that are things. It's just, they don't, you know, we, as Adventists, we believe that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and right. that, you know, we don't eat pork, we don't eat, you know, red meat like that. Like, you know, we believe in a health message. Yeah. Not really red meat, but more pork than anything.
Yeah. Well, just eating right, basically. Right.
Also worshiping on the right day, which is mm-hmm. Sabbath, which mm-hmm. is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that once you learned that, then you was like, but the other parts, you was kind of, you was treating people right. You was kind to people. You was, you know, you did believe, you believed in God. You did believe in different thing. You didn't know about the third angel's message, I don't think.
No, I didn't know about the Sabbath.
No, you don't know about the Sabbath and stuff, mm-hmm. right? So, mm-hmm. So
I think, you know, that was the difference in right. our spiritual walk together. And
so 5 years. So 5 years in, when we went to mm-hmm. The pastor and we had to talk,
mm-hmm.
then that's when we really started our spiritual journey
together.
I think what helped us with our spiritual journey was just singing.
Yes.
Because I don't know if sometimes in life you need something to push you.
That's true.
And you're singing pushed us to have to go to church every Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that helped us with our spiritual journey.
Yeah.
I could say, you know, because I think it helped you more than anything, because I find sometimes when people first get baptized, especially in the Adventist church,
mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm going to say, like, I don't know about other churches. I'm just talking about my church. Denomination, they can sometimes be very overbearing,
mm-hmm.
and just, like, you know, judgmental. Yeah. And I'd say that because we got to stop doing that. But I think, like, the singing is what got you through that.
Yeah.
Because we did have some folks that were.
And I also think it depends on how conservative the church is and the church.
No, nah, that's not the point. No.
I'm just saying.
I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the conservatism. Being conservative, I'm being mm-hmm. honest. I mean, mm-hmm. come on. If a person is got baptized and they still got earrings, or they still got they got tattoos, they just got baptized, so they're now giving their heart to God. So, like, they have now. It's the beginning of a new person.
Yes.
So why are we still judging them on the stuff that they have in the past?
Yeah.
Like, let them figure that out.
I see what you say. It takes time to release yourself. That,
you just don't, as soon as you go down in the water, come up, you just don't, you're a new being in Christ, but you're still fighting with that stuff. Yeah, you're still trying to get that stuff out of your system.
Yeah, because it takes time to release yourself from the things that you have, you know, had or still, you know, kind of attached to.
And this is the thing, the devil comes for you the hardest when you mm-hmm. first get baptized.
Yes.
Because I, as I said, my mother's a Bible worker. I've seen people that got baptized mm-hmm. and want to follow God,
mm-hmm.
but because of the church, they leave the church within a month or two because they're still struggling with some of the stuff they had in the past. Just because they're still struggling with the stuff they had in the past does not mean that they are not Christians or they don't love the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to give them time to get through that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think you still took a minute with your earrings.
Yeah.
After you got baptized,
mm-hmm.
I didn't stress you about it. I said, look, when you're ready, the one you got rid of the earrings, but then you had the bracelet.
Right.
And he was like, oh, I gotta have the bracelet because it keeps my equilibrium. Remember? It was a brass bracelet.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and I'm gonna go off on a tangent, so I'm just gonna leave it alone.
Let's get you off the rabbit hole.
I'm not trying to be in a rabbit hole. I'm just saying. But But spiritually, that's why I think we spiritually were together. Mm-hmm. In the sense of that we was thinking alike. And that there was no pressure on anything. Because we both still had our demons to deal with. I had my demons that I was dealing with even after I got rebaptized. I still was doing things that I should not be doing.
Yeah, but I think what we both, you know, continue to learn even now is learning to ask God for his guidance together.
Oh, definitely. No, I'm saying we prayed together, we worshiped together. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. The church was a going to church every Sabbath and sometimes on Wednesdays for prayer meeting. We didn't go every Wednesday, but most times.
Right.
And just, you know, you having to sing, it forced our hands to go to church, which helped us to grow spiritually. Mm-hmm. You know, because they, you know, you had to go in to sing, but it also allowed us to go and listen to the sermon and get something from the service
and connect with other believers,
mm-hmm. which has connected us to a group of parents now to this day that we still talk to and we're still friends with.
Yeah.
We don't talk to all the time, but when we talk like we never, you know, left each other's side.
Yeah.
You know, because when all our kids went to BI together, mm-hmm. not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah.
So I think that's where you get that spiritual, you know, connection with.
Yeah.
But I think beyond all of that, we had to, when I, like you said, introduce worship to you, mm-hmm. that allowed us to connect spiritually within the family.
As a family, yeah.
As a family and intimacy mm-hmm. With each other. Mm-hmm. I think we need to do better in the sense of we probably, beyond the family, we need to worship together. Pray and worship together ourselves, because I think sometimes we get too busy mm-hmm. where we just do the family worship, but we don't do our own couple worship.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that this past week, like we need to get back into the couple worship, because I know we don't do like we used to. We wake up in the morning, we'll read a scripture and talk about it, and then we'll go about our day. Mm-hmm. We don't do that like we used to anymore.
Yeah.
So that's something that, and being transparent, that's something that we need to work on as a couple. Because more prayer and worship doesn't hurt anybody.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, doesn't hurt anybody. It doesn't hurt a thing. Mm-hmm. We do with the kids.
Yeah.
We do it individually. Mm-hmm. And even I don't do it as much as I should. Because mm-hmm. I'm always rushing. I need to wake up early or go to bed early, get up early, you know. But beyond that, I think that's for us, that's what we need to do. Mm-hmm. And that will help couples, you know, to be better spiritually connected and intimacy with each other is by first going to God first. Mm-hmm. And then it will carry over. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
So the next one is emotional oneness. How did we get connected and, you know, being deeply connected together, understanding each other's needs and offering emotional support and encouragement? How did we go about
that? I'm gonna let you answer that one.
Our emotional oneness. I think for me, I don't feel like in the beginning, I'm a very my physical touch, I'm very touchy-feely, where I like to like, you know, hug and all of that. But our emotional oneness is learning to share how we feel about things that's going on in our relationship, learning how to be open and honest, and learning how to get support when it's needed. And I think I learned how to do that with you. Like if I saw you where you was kind of, you know, feeling some way, I'm like, Pedro, you know, do you want to talk about it? You know, how can I help you? What, you know, I try to give you, you know, some type of encouragement to kind of wherever you was leaning towards, you know, I tried to give you that type of encouragement. I think that really did help us to connect together as well emotionally, to know that we can talk to each other about things. We don't have to hold it in. We don't have to feel like we by ourselves when we're going through, you know, when we're going through things in our lives, or are we trying to deal with things by ourselves? You know, I'm like, look, we can do this together. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to hold this all by yourself. You know, even though you're the head of the house, I can try to alleviate some of that pressure that you may be feeling emotionally. And, you know, just talking to you and just letting you know that, you know, whatever it is, you know, I'm here. You know, what, you know, just showing you that and just understanding that we need to be there for each other. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to sit there and just be an open book and just be a listening ear. Just be like, look, if you need to vent, if you need to get something off your mind, off your chest, even if it's something that's concerning you guys or something that you feel about me or something that I feel about you, just being able to come to you and say, look, this is how this is making me feel. And just sitting there listening to them and, you know, just trying to connect in that emotional way. Because I think sometimes you can get disconnected when you're not sharing how you feel to your spouse.
Oh, you definitely get disconnected when you don't, because then you start emotionally checking out and going to somebody else or going to something. Mm-hmm. It can go to like a male, well, females too, but more probably males will go to porn.
Right.
We'll go to other sexual things, mm-hmm. you know, because it's all intertwined. Mm-hmm. So emotionally, feel like you don't want me, so then I go to find somebody that's going to want me, even or if listen. It's myself, or listen. Mm-hmm. Right. So then you end up, you know, doing things that, you know,
right,
that you don't want to do, but you end up doing it because you think that it's better for you.
Right. And having conversations with each other really does bring a good connection, because you're not just talking about the kids, you're not just talking about the bills, you're not just talking about whatever, all the other stuff, but you coming together, you know, letting your spouse know your deepest feelings or you know, whatever's going on in your mind or your heart, and sharing that time or that moment with them, you know, so they can feel where you're coming from.
You know, I was thinking about that. I think our relationship is unique in the sense of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know other people that's ever said this, so, or say this, but mm-hmm. we I think our ability to talk on the phone mm-hmm. has helped us in our relationship, because by the time I get home, you shut down.
Right.
So there's no time to talk. We do talk sometimes. You do have, you don't go to sleep every day, but you know, like 8 o'clock, you're shutting down
because
you've been up since 7, like you've been up since 6:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So by 8 o'clock, you're shutting down. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you're shut down, and after we put the kids to bed, we'll have a conversation like 10, 11 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. We'll have our conversation then sometimes no. Right. But I think you have to figure out that what works for you.
The
timing. And I'm just saying, because for us, I think what the works for us.
Least, yeah,
but what works for us is that because I drive all the time, and sometimes I got an hour and a half drive, or I got an hour drive, or a 30-minute drive, it allows us sometimes to talk to each other. So sometimes we can talk about the things that are maybe on our mind or what's bothering us. So then when we come home at night, or when I come back home at night, we could just have like we don't have to have a long discussion. We just kind of have like a recap of what we talked about.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
And
well, especially depending on what stuck out to you in that conversation.
Right. Because you have some people that when they go to work, they don't talk to their spouse at all throughout the whole day.
Yeah.
Then when they come home, she's tired, he's tired, or whatever, they go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So there's no communication.
Yeah.
Then it starts breaking down. Then emotionally, physically, spiritually, everything is breaking up because they don't think. And I was saying, that's why I was saying for us, like, I think we have that unique relationship because we do have opportunity. Even though we don't talk all the time in person, we have a lot of our conversations over the phone. Mm-hmm. And then we just have to recap. Like
it's
I
just
said.
Finding a way, like you said, to connect.
To connect and communicate. That's what I'm saying, right? Everybody, there's ways around to do things.
Yeah.
If you really want to make it work. And I think that my point is that that's what we choose to do because we understand that. Mm-hmm. What if I was like, I don't want to talk to you while I'm at work, but then when I get home, I don't talk to you.
Yeah. We don't talk
We'll be breaking down because we won't be talking at all. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know that we have
and
a better chance.
And not all the time our conversation we have on the phone. Sometimes we be talking.
No. Sometimes we just laughing. I'm talking about when we need to talk about something.
Right.
Or like, when I call you, I can tell by your tone. I'm like, what's wrong?
Right. Or something
on your mind, because I can tell by your tone.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, yesterday I called my job and the girl was like, you don't sound right. Because I was irritated about something. And she was like, you don't sound right. And I was like, I'm all right. She's like, nah, you don't sound right. Because she knows how when I call, how I respond every time. Mm-hmm. I didn't respond that way. I was just like, hey, I need to speak to blah, blah, blah. And she was like, yeah, something's not right. You understand? Because you can tell. Mm-hmm. You know, and the same thing goes, and definitely with you. If I call you and I'm like, then you'd be like, oh, what's wrong? What's bothering you?
Yeah, like, what's wrong
you? Know,
you?
What's wrong with you? And, you know, and I'm saying my point is that if somebody that doesn't even know me that well can tell, you definitely can tell
yeah.
when something's wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I can tell when there's something's wrong with you. I could tell when you just got off the phone and you're irritated from the phone call.
Yeah.
Because you'll pick up like, hello. And I'm like, okay, what's wrong? It's nothing's wrong. I'm like, talk.
Oh,
what's wrong?
Gosh. Yeah.
Because when you answer the phone, you know it's me calling.
Yeah, yeah.
I want you to answer the phone with sweetness and love.
Hello.
Hey, baby. How you doing? No, you, hello. I'm like, nah. You didn't answer the phone like that, chick. Nah, you know, hold up. It's your husband calling. You better recognize.
Oh, my God.
You better recognize. Don't answer the phone like you. And you know it's me calling, so hey.
Yeah, you know, love
you ever some love in that tone, shoot, you know, and I say that I'm like, I'm gonna hang up, I'm gonna call back. You need to answer better next time. Shoot, you're not gonna answer me, talk to me like that. Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, put some love on that.
Put some love on that. Shoot, put some something.
But yeah,
put some stank on that. You know, something.
You know, emotional connection / to communicating is very important for us to connect in any way that you find that can be useful for you guys. So we're going to go to the next one. Relational oneness, which is prioritizing the marriage relationship, valuing each other's opinions and feelings, and working together to overcome challenges. How do you think we prioritize things in our relationship, valuing each other's opinions and feelings, and working together to overcome challenges?
As long as we stay out of our feelings, we're fine.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah. I think when we
put our feelings into it and get into our feelings.
Yeah, when we get emotionally.
Oh, we totally screw it up.
Yeah. because now we operating on how we feel.
Mm-hmm. And not how the other person's feeling.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and not how the other person's
definitely.
Feeling.
And that's what I said. That's
we're not putting any value there.
Yeah, just go right to it. I'm not even gonna lie and say when we operate on our own feelings,
yeah,
we don't get nothing accomplished.
Yeah.
You have to get out your feelings and put your feet in the shoes of the other person.
Yeah.
To understand where they're coming from.
Be willing to listen to what
Be
they're
willing
saying.
To listen. You're not gonna agree every time with what they're saying,
that's
but
it.
You have to understand their point of view.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we had to learn.
Yeah.
I had to learn to, because most times I'd be like, I already know what you're gonna say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I already
and
know
I'm like,
what
you didn't even give me a chance to say it. Like, give me the chance to say it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, come on.
Like I say to you all the time, I know what you may say, but this is what I'm da-da-da-da-da. And then you'll say what I thought you was going to say. I'm like, okay, at least I know you was going to say that, but this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have, you know.
Because
I think sometimes I notice like when, like emotionally with us, like I know when I say things to you, to this day, 20 years later, you still have this, and it's because I probably did it in the beginning, which I did not mean to do.
Mm.
But you have this thing of like, I'm saying you're doing something wrong.
Right.
And you still have in
and
your
I
mind.
Think that's where
and you still
from.
Have in your
I
mind that I'm saying
from.
You're doing something wrong or that you're not a good mother.
But now I think I'm trying to be a little bit more open with that in the sense of not thinking that and just trying to like, you know, just be more open to what you're saying. And you know, valuing what you're saying,
taking it for face value, what I say,
and not just
because if I'm gonna say that you're doing something, I'm gonna say that you're doing such and such. I'm not stop telling me because you always think you know what I'm saying,
right?
I think you've let your mind go to where everything I say, I know what he's saying, but that's not what he's really saying. He's really saying this, and I'm like, no, that's not what I was saying. I said what I said,
but I just finally now I'm like, okay.
Oh, you still have your moments.
I do. I'm not perfect. But majority of the time, I'm really...
it's more like 30-70, baby. 30-70.
In my opinion, I think it's... Anyway,
your opinion.
I just feel that I have become more aware to be more open with my mind to say, okay, listen to what he's saying. Don't automatically think you know what he's gonna say.
Mm.
Just kind of listen. And if he does say something sort of what you think, be like in my mind, I'd be like, okay, I know.
Delusional is a state of mind.
I knew he was gonna say that.
You just did it before we got on the before we did this podcast. You just did it.
Yeah.
You bought your son a book bag. You said
can't
to
let
me,
it go.
I'm not because I'm letting people know you bought your son a book bag. That's fine. The other day you said to me, oh, babe, I found this book bag. It was half off. You know, what do you think? Why does he need a bag? That right there. And because I said that, that's why you didn't tell me. So here, pop, all of a sudden, we're about to start the doorbell ring. Ding, ding. Because we have a ring bell. Big old box. I'm like, who ordered this big old box? Oh, that's the book bag. Didn't I tell you I bought it? No. No, you did not tell me you bought it. that's fine that you bought it. I don't care. You know, your money, do what you want with your money. You know, you have your set money where you can buy things and stuff.
Yeah.
For the kids. So then I say to you, you know, that made you feel good. No, it didn't. Mm-hmm. It didn't make me feel good. I just did it because I wanted to. So we go back and forth for about 5-10 minutes. I'm like, Todd, I don't care that it made you feel good. But it's just like, if I go buy something for you, I buy it so that it makes me feel good.
Right.
Then what'd you do 10 minutes later? You know what? You was right. It does not make me feel good. Yeah. It's like, you come on. Mm. But for some reason, when I said it to you 10 minutes ago, you had this thought process that mm-hmm. I was saying that you was doing something wrong. I think you honestly thought I was saying you did something wrong by buying the book bag. Mm. I don't care that you bought the book bag. Mm-hmm. I don't care, but you didn't. What I would say, don't say to me that you told me that you bought the book bag, because yeah. All you did say was, hey, I found the book bag. What you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, That's all I was saying. I didn't care that you bought the bag.
Yeah.
In my mind, I said, she probably bought the bag. Mm. But until I see the bag in person, I can't, you know.
You can't say.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. You can't.
Anyway,
you can't automatically think I'm saying you did something bad.
Yeah.
I see that.
And so I think we have overcome in some ways, and you know,
we're still working on it. We're a work in progress.
Yes, we are. However, we are learning each day to, you know what I'm saying, to be more open-minded.
I'm definitely open-minded.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not perfect. We're not gonna do everything that we like. Mm-hmm. Emotionally or anything. We're not going to do everything we like.
That's just
what we are. It's what we are. We are as a couple. We are growing every day. I keep saying we're growing every day.
We are.
20 years in October, we're still growing.
That's it.
So, I still find out things about you that I did not know.
Likewise. Yeah.
Whatever.
So moving on to our next one, we're going to be talking about physical oneness, which is sharing sexual intimacy, experiencing love and affection, and creating a safe and intimate space for each other. I think sharing sexual intimacy was never an issue for us.
In the beginning.
Gosh.
You went there.
Okay, in the beginning.
But I have a thought process on that.
But you wasn't the type of person that, you know, like hug and rub. And
I was not affectionate.
I was
only affectionate when I want some.
Yes, that's the only time you became
When I became extremely affectionate. I was overly affectionate.
Because I was that type of person that liked to connect in that way with you, you didn't have a problem with it. You allowed me to do it and stuff like that. I don't think it was something that you're like, stop touching me or stop being around me type of thing. You like that I did that. And I think it also showed that the attention that I was giving you.
Mm-hmm.
You like that. You like the attention
mm-hmm.
that I was giving
you. My man won't.
Right. And that was my way of expressing my love and affection for you. And just letting you know that you can be safe. You know, I'm creating a space with that, saying that, look, you can connect with me like that. We can be close.
Yeah, but now that we're into the marriage and other things, I think being tired, other things, having to go work, you know, time, you know, but I realized I was reading something and it brought up a thought process in my head. Maybe if we went back to how we was before, like going out once a week or going out 2-3 times a month or something like that, just giving you time, maybe that would get you flowing again where you'll be more, you know, in
okay, so I'm going to say this. I've been asking you.
I know that.
Let me finish. I've been asking you for the last couple of months now. Mm-hmm. I have been bringing it up, just throwing it out there in the wind, but it feels like it's a fart in the wind because you're not listening to me.
So, stop using my phrase from the Shark Tank Redemption, okay? You love using that phrase.
Okay, so this is the thing. I come to you and I say, Bae, let's go on a date or let's do something, even if it's just one day out the week. Let's go out, get something to eat, watch a movie or whatever. And if it's during the, if, you know, and the time I drink some coffee or something to keep myself up. However, I think we just need to do something. It ain't just be just a movie. It could be anything. Playing pool. It could be.
We're not going to go to a movie because you're going to be asleep right away.
We could do something that's got a little bit more activity.
A movie's not going to happen. If that's the case, we might as well come down there and watch TV and go to sleep.
So either way, I just want to be able. I've been saying this is what I would like to do, but it don't seem like you're on the same page with it.
I am on the same page. It's just finding the time.
One thing I know about my husband: when you want to do something, you're gonna put forth to do it, and you have not done that.
And that's fair.
And I can't do it by myself. What am I doing?
You can make the thing and say, hey, we're going to this day, be dressed. You can do that.
I guess I could too.
We could do that. But to your defense.
But if I
To your defense, I can also make more. And I said, I was thinking about it last couple of days when we were talking about this. I said, you know, I need to make more of an effort for us to go out, because we can't use the children excuse anymore, because the children, you'll be like, now. Oh, they're getting older. Mm-hmm. And even then, we shouldn't have been using it. We should have found somebody that could watch the kids for 2-3 hours a day and go out. We could have.
Like who?
I don't know, but we could have found somebody, because you know what, Todd? Because you start using the children as an excuse, and that's why we got into this rut we're in now.
I'm sorry, PJ. I just have a problem.
Oh, wait. See, so you have a... But we had opportunities then when my mother's around and stuff. We did have opportunities that we could do things. And we chose not to do it. So my point is that, you see, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, this, but when it was you that was the one that was stopping us from doing it, it was right.
Okay. I can take accountability.
That's all I'm saying. So it goes both ways. So if I'm being held accountable, now, for my part, you have to be held accountable for your part.
I just did.
Okay. I just want to point that out. So that was my first thing. But we can fix that. And we're definitely going to start. We're going to go somewhere. I know we're going out tomorrow.
You know what? I'm not even worried about it. Because you know what? When the first day it happened, is that mean that that's the beginning of something that's going to continue, hopefully.
Well, hopefully it'll get the juices flowing.
because you know what? It feel good just to get up and get dressed and look good for one another. You know, you groom yourself, I groom myself, and we go out. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. So,
not that we're sexually, you know, depriving each other. I'm just saying, because I want people to think like, we're not, you know, it's not like we're sexually depriving each other. I just wanted more.
Yeah.
That's it. I just want more.
Okay.
But, you know, you'd be like, I can tell when you just, you know, you're just like, oh.
I'm not always like that, but you don't do that. Please don't make it seem like I never not want to do anything.
So don't do that. You'd be like, oh, babe, tonight. And then I come upstairs, you.
Well, I'm sorry. You should have came upstairs sooner. Nobody told you to take a whole hour. You take a whole hour in the bathroom.
No, I don't take a whole hour.
Sorry. You want me to stay up, really, at night?
Excuse me. It's 11 o'clock at night.
I'm normally, you know what? I'm not even getting into this.
Exactly.
Wake me up then if you want it.
Oh, when I wake you then, you say, I broke your sleep. Damn, when? Hey, then the next day, you're like, I'm so tired. Why'd you wake me up?
Because I need to be for the functioning, for the, you know.
For what?
For the day. Anyway. So we're going to go into.
So if I take you out, hopefully that will, you know.
That may do some things, because
it better do something.
It will do something, but you got to
start. Yes, I'm doing it for that reason.
You guys, well, I don't care what you're doing it for. I just want to be a we're trying to connect in it.
I'm not be honest with you. I do want to do so we can have more of a connection with each other.
Not just
sexually, but physically and spiritually, and just enjoying each other's company where there's no kids around.
Yeah. Do you feel like we have created a safe space for our connection with each other? Do you feel like we have given each other that safe space? Like you have given me, I've given you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe I have a safe space.
Okay.
When you get on my nerves, I go downstairs. When I get on your nerves, you go downstairs, or you go in the living room, or I, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have learned to give each other time.
Yeah, that's important.
And I think that's a safe space that you can give. We've learned to give each other time to, like I think like if breather, we haven't right breather. Breather if we haven't I'm like I'm not talking about it no more. Right now, and we'll come back to it later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna jump back because we're gonna try to get through these ones.
We're not going to because it's already
okay. So, but wait a minute, we have just one more. Our practical oneness. No, I'm sorry. Our physical oneness. Sharing sex. No, we already shared. We already did that.
Anyway. Right.
Okay. So our practical oneness is making decisions together, sharing finances, and collaborating.
Did we do commitment and covenant?
Yeah, we'll do that at the end. So our practical one is making decisions together, sharing finances, and collaborating on household tasks, goals, and dreams. I think for me, how you have done that, we have learned to make decisions together and coming together on that.
I let you buy in the book bag.
Yeah, but the point is, I mentioned it to you, so that means that it was a possibility that it was going to happen. Tell me.
You just said, what do you think? That's not mentioning it, okay? I'm sorry, that's not mentioning it. That's like me saying to you, because you know me. That's like me saying to you, hey, babe, you know, I saw this on Amazon. What do you think? And what's the first thing you'll say to me? Did you buy it already?
Babe, excuse me. Don't even go there, because let me
tell you not something. Say that to me?
No, Pedro, I told you specifically not to buy TV, right? I said, babe, we do not need to buy a TV. And next thing you know, not even a month later, babe, you know, something coming into me, I bought a TV.
No, wait.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait. To my defense, I bought you the monitor first.
You only bought me the monitor because you wanted
No, I bought you the monitor because we needed a new monitor for the podcast. And
so in turn, you also bought a TV. Anyway, it's
because
fine.
Then the TV that we had as the monitor was old. We didn't have those TVs for like 7 years.
Okay. Anyway, I'm not tripping.
So I was like, well, if I'm gonna get a monitor, I might as well get a TV.
So you saying we made that decision together?
Yeah, in the beginning. No.
Okay.
We made that decision together when I said, hey, but you like the monitor, don't you?
Okay. So what about?
Don't you like the monitor?
I do. It's a curved one, so it's really nice.
Yeah, exactly. So
really nice and big. It's like 32, 34. Yeah,
32.
Yeah, it's really nice. So
we normally don't like to tell people what we got, but yeah. But
But anyway, sharing finances. I think we do good with that.
I try to do better with it.
Sharing finances. Yeah. Because if I don't have something I want to ask you, like, Pedro, give me some money I need in my account, please.
Here's a funny thing, right? You don't even need to ask me because, you know, really honestly, you have access to the other account.
I do have access.
You don't never go in there.
Yeah, I don't go in there because I don't know what bill is coming out. Yeah, because we got stuff coming out electronically in it.
Yeah, so but I've cut a lot of that out. And then on top of that, so like if we get some money, then I just say, just keep it.
Yeah.
Because I'm end up giving it to you anyway. So I just said, just keep it. And then you go crazy, start buying stuff for the kids, and then you come back and say, I need some money for this. I'm like, well, then stop buying all the stuff for the kids.
But anyway.
So, why do you do that? Because it makes you feel good.
Okay, so.
I went back to that.
Collaborate on household tasks. How do we go about doing that quickly?
Whatever needs to be done gets done.
Yeah, so if I be like, babe, I need you to.
No, you don't even have to say that to me.
Yeah.
If I walk in the house and I see that there's dishes, I just do the dishes.
You do.
If I see that there's garbage, I just take the garbage out. Mm-hmm. It's called collaboration. Or I tell Junior to do it.
Yeah.
We use our kids a lot for things like that.
Yeah.
They hate it. They're like, did you just have us so we could do things like this? Yes.
Yes. We really did.
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. I had you just so I could call you down to take my plate and put it in the sink. Yes. Because I don't want to get off the couch after I eat.
Yeah,
I don't get off
the chair. I tell my kids, I said, we all doing this together. You know what I'm saying? As far as like the trash or the recycling or their clothes or just, you know, just getting their stuff together. I think we have to work together as a family. We have to work together as a team.
Now they can wash and dry their own clothes.
Yes.
I told you that. They can bring their own basket down, wash their own clothes, and then take their clothes and put them in the dryer and then dry their clothes and then take their clothes up and fold their own clothes.
Yeah. Like, what do you think this is?
You fold their clothes for them. Don't play.
Yeah, because sometimes, let me tell you, they don't fold, they roll everything up.
They need to learn.
Okay.
I learned.
And then when I try to go put stuff in drawers, you can't fit nothing in there. So anyway,
Anyway, like I said.
Okay, so goals.
It's a work in progress. We're working on it. It
is. Goals and dreams. If I have something that I would like to do, husband always, which I love about you, honey. Mm-hmm. I love that I'd be like, babe, I want to do this. You'd be like, okay, let's figure out how we're going to do it. Right. And as far as like my bodybuilder business, you have this good season, you know, you have the season where it's going when it's more colder than it is in the summer. But it's still when it's popping, you know, he's there to support. He is there to mail off things for me and make sure that get done. So you are very good access to me when it comes to me wanting to do something that I love. And you share that with me. And I really do appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, and I love that you don't downplay my dreams and what I want, but I love that you, and I do the same thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
we my only dream is that you're happy and that the kids are happy.
Yeah. Oh, honey. You're so sweet.
That's all I need. I don't need nothing else.
So, to end this whole thing, I'm sorry.
They keep talking.
So achieving oneness is basically, you have a couple of things on here. Commitment is number one. Communication is number two. Forgiveness is a big thing that we have to do in our relationships. We have to forgive and move on and really try to don't hold on to grudge. Release, and let it go. Respect each other's space, opinions, times, roles, and identities. I think we have to respect each other, and we have to show that daily. And support each other. So support each other with our emotions, our spiritual support, in our well-being. You know, just letting them know, look, I care for you, and I want what's best for you. And I think that's so important to show that. So in essence, becoming one in marriage is a journey of growth, commitment, and transformation. It's about actively working together to create a strong and loving and fulfilling partnership where two individuals becoming a unified whole, stronger and more resilient together than they were apart. So I think it's so important for us to come together and showing that to each other each day is what God wants for us. He wants us to become one, one flesh, one being. And with him, you can't go wrong.
Yep. All right. Mm-hmm. And my process, becoming one in marriage is not a moment, it's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Begins with the vow. Once you did the vow, that mm-hmm. was, it deepens with every shared burden, mm-hmm. every forgiven mistake, every small act of kindness. It's not found in perfect agreement, but in steadfast commitment. So we're always committed to each other,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. Even if we don't get along, we're still committed to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not running out saying, I'm going to go find somebody else because you don't agree with me.
Right.
You're
not listening to me.
It's less about thinking alike and more about thinking together.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing I would say, we definitely are two different people when it comes to thinking about things.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes so we'd be
butting heads.
I'd be like, you thought that too? No. Okay.
That's when we become one.
Oh, right.
We think alike. Sorry. I'm talking about sometimes we don't think alike.
Right, gotcha.
And we're both totally thinking opposite. We have to come other. Together.
Yeah, gotcha.
Now, I think when it comes to certain things, just when we can look at something and we both have the same thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different,
mm-hmm.
that's a whole different beast. That's just us being, knowing what the other person's going to think.
Right.
Because we have connected in the sense of being connected towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think when we have disagreements, it gives us a chance to grow because it teaches us how to agree with each other.
Yeah.
When we have something that's going on, we have a chance to unite because it's a trial and it gives us a chance to come together and work through the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ordinary days, and every day I wake up, I choose to love you. Every day I wake up, I choose to say, I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love who she is, no matter what she is today. You know, even if she's mean to me today, I'm still going to love her.
Yeah, I'm mean.
You know, so.
Oh, I'm just joking.
You could be mean some mornings. You could be a little, stark snarky with your words and stuff, keeping it real, yeah.
Yep.
You know. And then in becoming one, we just choose not to lose each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we decide what we mean to each other together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to make sure that everything we do, it's beneficial to the other person and mm-hmm. ourselves.
Right.
Like when I do things thinking, how is it going to benefit you?
Right.
And if it benefits you, then it benefits me.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything when we make decisions together, it's not just about benefiting myself. It's about benefiting both of us.
Yeah.
And if y'all notice, I'm not even saying the kids because the kids are a totally separate entity here. Because if you want to connect one-to-one, you cannot involve the kids.
No.
The kids are not involved. I'm sorry. Mm-mm. It's you and your spouse.
That's it.
The kids will be, when you connect with you and your spouse, the kids will automatically be put into the different equations and different voids and the different spots.
Right.
The kids will be put there.
Yeah.
Because you if you two are not in tune with each other, then nothing else is, the kids are not going to help you.
Yeah.
You know, people think, oh, if I add the kids, if I have a kid, then they'll make our life better. No, it sometimes makes it worse. Sometimes it don't make it better.
Make it more complicated.
Yeah, it definitely makes it more complicated because now you got another human being to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
So
now we at our part of our show, guys, where we talk about our cards. So now we're going to pick a card. Pick a card, any card that we're going to talk about. We're going to give a quick answer on what we think.
I don't even know what colors, remember?
We don't know what color. So we have these cards that we bought. It's called Intimate Cards, Best Self. It's the title of it. And you pick a card and you say, and the card consists of the past, the random life, relationships, intimacy, and about you. Let's go with relationship.
Light blue?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's light blue, yeah. Yeah, so
should have this more ready.
Yeah.
I think we kind of used up all the blues.
Yeah, so we're going to pick intimacy section of the categories. And we're going to pick a card and we're going to talk about it for a quick second before our time is up. And let me see. Let me pick a card. Okay. Okay. So I have my card. Pedro has his card. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to go with mine first. Describe if any ways in which our relationship has changed you. This question is for you. Describe if any ways in which our relationship has changed you. Do you understand the question?
Yeah, describe it any ways to relate that our relationship has changed me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a simple question.
Yeah, I was just making sure.
Our relationship has taught me to be patient and be more understanding, mm-hmm. and not to be angry all the time.
Right.
And our relationship has taught me to not take, I think in the past, I took my anger out on my other past relationships.
Right.
I'll be honest with you. I think I let my anger get the best of me. Mm-hmm. And instead of taking accountability for myself,
mm-hmm.
I placed the blame on them, my ex-wives, ex-relationships, just anything in general. Like, I always blame them. Well, if you didn't do this, then I wouldn't have did that. I always have to say that a lot. So much. So mm-hmm. much. I don't say that anymore. Now I'll say, even though you did that, what could I have done differently
mm-hmm.
to not make you react the way that you reacted?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes you're going to do something, you as my wife, you're going to do something that you know that you're doing it. And even though I can still react that way, even though you should react that way, I can still, there's always the option of me reacting the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you react a certain way doesn't mean I have to react in the worst way.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Yeah. Right. So I think that's what our relationship has changed to me.
Yeah.
I have to think now because I had lost my train of thought from there. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You want to answer?
Yes. Like,
you want to answer?
Oh, well, for me, the way our relationship has changed me is seeing how you receive things. You see what I'm saying? Like, if we going through something and how you then, well, versus how you was before, when you used to have this anger thing going on, you used to respond in a way that was, I had to be in a defensive mode type of thing. But now, because you have changed your way of thinking and the way of how you do things has allowed me to change to not be as, you know, taking things in a way of I have to be defense, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Put up a defense. Well, I'm able to receive what you're saying in a way where I'm listening to you.
Right.
So it has opened up my mind to be more a way of listening to what you're saying and to not take it in a negative way.
Right. And on that subject, and I'm going to say this, but because I did that in the past, they say when you do things, be careful what you do in the past or be careful what you do because it can have a lasting effect.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, you still sometimes think that. And I have to point out to you, hey, I'm not doing that. This is what I'm doing.
Right.
I have to be more deliberate in what I'm saying to you. Mm-hmm. Because if I just blatantly, generically say it, you will still sometimes take it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm more deliberate and saying, this is what I was thinking, this is what I was feeling, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Then you say, oh, okay, he was thinking. Because I think past trauma always stays with you sometimes.
Right.
It's just a matter of how well, and it don't take much sometimes to trigger.
Right.
To trigger that. Because if you're having a bad day and then I do something that looks like what I did in the past, you automatically go right to that, that moment, you know, and that's fine. It's my job to then say, no, this is what I was thinking. This is what I was.
But because of how things are now, I'm able to differentiate, like, you know, what is what, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And not try to jump to conclusion. So I think my way of how I am now, it has changed me to be better.
Okay. So my question is, if our relationship ended tomorrow, what three things would you miss the most?
Oh, I would miss just getting on your nerves.
I already got an answer for that question.
I would miss...
No, wait. You're answering it the wrong way.
Okay, wait. Okay, if your relationship ends tomorrow, what three things would you miss the most? I would miss
No. You're answering it the wrong way. Because number one, we don't believe in that. So the only way our relationship is going to end is through death.
Through death's do us part.
Exactly.
Yes. But
you don't say that. This is like acting like, because you know, in the way the world today, and they think, you know, you get divorced so quickly. No, we ain't getting divorced. No, you're with me for life. No, listen to me. You're with me for life. Only way you leaving me is through death. Okay. That's all I'm saying. Nope. I'm not answering this question because that's the only way you answer this question.
Okay.
It's through death.
Okay. So death.
Otherwise, this question is a mute question because I'm not answering this question if it ended tomorrow. How's it ending? Because it's not ending by us being divorced.
It's not.
All right. That's all I'm saying. It's not ending by us being divorced. It's not ending up by us breaking up.
You shut it down.
That's right. I'm shutting it down because I want to make sure people understand that no, the only way that our relationship is going to end is by death.
Okay.
God is going to take you or take me or whatever happens, do death. Otherwise, it's not ending.
Okay.
So I ain't gonna miss nothing because guess what? It ain't ending.
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
Okay. So that's it for that guy.
I'm sorry. No, I when I read, I was like, I'll start thinking, I miss your smile. No, wait, no, I'm not gonna miss any of that because we're not ending.
That's right, honey. You're absolutely right.
It's marriage to death do you apart through sickness and health.
That's right, honey. We all in.
We're all in, exactly. Off you.
Oh, he don't. Ooh.
Anyway.
Okay. So
same shoot. Yeah, and I turned even turned red. I saw it in my face. Because you told myself, I miss your smile. Screw that. I don't miss your smile. True.
Okay.
Whatever. Okay. So you better recognize the question.
Okay, boo. Okay, so you don't top his game today, baby. But all right, honey, that's
nah, cool. forget that. So, guys,
just to take with you today, you know, let God bring you guys together. Be open to each other. Be mindful to listen, to communicate, and to just share your thoughts with one another. And God lead.
I want to pray before we.
Yes, go ahead and pray, honey.
All right, it's actually a prayer that I'm going to read, but it's a prayer.
It's fine.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the sacred gift of marriage. You have brought us together, not by accident, but by divine purpose. Teach us daily what it means to become one, not only in words or vows, but in heart, spirit, and life. Help us to love as you love, patiently, sacrificially, and unconditionally. In our differences, let us find strength. In our challenges, let us choose unity over division. In our joy, let us give thanks together. Be the center of our marriage and the third strain in our cord, the peace in our storms and the light that guides our path. May we honor you and how we honor one another. Shape us to reflect your grace day by day, decision by decision. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We'll be back again next week with another episode, God willing.
God willing. But thank you again. This is Heal My Marriage Podcast. I'm your host.
I'm your host, Tara.
And I'm Pedro.
And this is Heal My Marriage
Podcast. Get it together, woman. Get it together.
All right. Peace. Bye, guys.